Atlanta. I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
Good morning, Elizabeth Gordon and Atlanta. I'm Dana Barrett.
And you're listening to Business Radio X. And with us in the studio this morning, we've got a great panel of guests focusing on, right, the heart of downtown Atlanta. Starting off, we've got Dan Williams, who is the membership manager with Central Atlanta Progress and the Atlanta Downtown Improvement District. Dan, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you so
much. And part of what you do is help companies see all the benefits of locating in downtown Atlanta, and you've brought with you two great ones, companies that are doing some good business right in downtown Atlanta. Tim Smith, the president of Breen Smith Advertising.
Good morning.
We're happy to have you here,
Thank
Tim.
Thank you.
And you guys just moved into the downtown Margaret Mitchell Square location.
We did. We moved in St. Patrick's Day, March 17th of this year.
Did you have some green beer?
Luck to do that.
Part of your celebration?
We had some beer.
Whether or not it was green is irrelevant.
Right.
Excellent. Well, welcome to downtown.
Thank you very much.
And then we've got Antoine Floyd, who is the financial center manager for the Fifth Third Bank branch that's located right kind of, you know, across the street from where we are at the Georgia Pacific Center.
Yes, ma'am.
Antoine, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
We're
going to have to get into, well, we will get into Fifth Third Bank a little bit because, you know, banks, all of a sudden you feel like you never heard of a bank and then they're everywhere. And that's sort of the way Fifth Third Bank feels for me. All of a sudden I'm seeing them everywhere. So you'll tell us about it, won't we?
Good deal.
After we've, you know, loosened up a bit.
So, Dan, we were chatting a little bit before we went live on the air, and the transportation referendum vote is kind of front and center of everyone's mind. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there and what people need to know.
Sure. Going straight to the hot buttons I see this morning.
Hey, I waste no time. People are busy. We've got business to do. Let's get to
it. Sure. Well, just a little bit of background on why Central Atlanta Progress is involved with this transportation vote, as is as our organizations and businesses across our region. We've been around for 70 years in downtown Atlanta. We've been involved in the economic development of the central part of the city, which used to extend all the way to Buckhead and has since focused on the four-mile by four-mile area in downtown Atlanta. We are part of a group that has brought or is bringing the streetcar, the Atlanta streetcar, to downtown. We have activity in a variety of transportation-related areas that we could go into in depth a little bit more. However, what is happening on July 31st is the most critical moment in our region's history, really since you could look at the airport or the Olympics. It's on that level of magnitude in terms of importance for our region that the benefits that we will receive, but also frankly, if we don't move forward and pass this referendum on July 31st, the consequences that we will face I would suggest will probably also be on that magnitude. So we need to take this really seriously in Central Atlanta Progress, because we have always, for 70 years, taken very seriously the transportation needs, the infrastructure needs, the economic development needs of downtown and Atlanta and our region as a whole. We take this vote very seriously, and so we're part of the wide spectrum of organizations that's encouraging folks to vote yes.
And can you explain a little bit about what yes will mean and what no will mean?
Absolutely. So yes means over $7 billion in over 10 years with a penny sales tax that will be assessed over a 10-county region.
Right.
It means 157 projects, 52% of those dollars going into transit improvements, transit expansion. So we're talking a little over $600 million for MARTA, state of good repair improvements. We're talking about the Atlanta Beltline actually being able to get off the ground and become the real vision that will be starting to be it's seen in the east side and the west side across Midtown, connecting to the downtown streetcar that we've got now. So that vision will start to be realized through the Atlanta Beltline.
We're talking about infrastructure improvements around 285 and 400 and these interchanges around the perimeter. You know, I think when you talk to somebody that about Atlanta traffic and that image, you know, what is that image that comes into your head when you think about Atlanta's traffic problem? I think that area for many people is the first thing that pops into their head. And there's so much in this referendum that's going to deal with the bottlenecks in those areas. And when you talk to businesses that are thinking about moving to our region, that's one of the first things that they talk about, because sure. They've probably been to other cities and talked to their economic development folks, and they've probably had a cocktail with someone who said, you know what, your folks are probably going to want to live, a lot of them around the perimeter, and boy, I tell you, the traffic is just so bad there. We're going to do something about it on July 31st. And those are just a few examples, but there's much, much more that we can talk about related to the referendum and how it's going to affect big issues, but also traffic. And transportation, pedestrian, bicycle issues in local communities as well.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for that little course on what's going on, because I feel like a lot of times these issues crop up and people don't sort of hear it,
absolutely,
but they don't really know what it means and what it's going to mean for them long term. And
sure.
If the vote is no, does it mean all these projects go away, or does it just mean they take 20 years longer?
Well, in many cases they will go away.
Yeah.
I sat in a meeting last night where we were actually talking about the 285 400 interchange improvement, and Bucky Johnson, who's the mayor of Norcross, said yeah, you know, it'll happen. It's actually slated for 2035.
Yeah, and so, everybody's like, woohoo!
It's going to happen. If you don't mind waiting till 2035. And, you know, he said, you know, he's a middle-aged guy, and, you know, he made a joke that, you know, I probably won't be around to see it. And,
yeah.
But if those of you who will are interested in waiting
right,
that long,
you.
Then good
right.
for you. So
I was just envisioning myself, like, in a wheelchair with no
yeah.
teeth, you know,
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
Going around the Beltline.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, oh, this is
right.
really cool.
Right.
We're finally getting together.
And in many cases, the projects won't happen. In many cases, it will be a long time. And the Atlanta Beltline, Brian Leary, in the same meeting last night, who's the CEO of the Beltline, made a joke that we'll go back to Plan A, because before this referendum, Plan A was okay. Well, we've got to find funding somewhere, and we can find it here and there, and little pieces here and there, and
we'll have a bake
we'll have a bake sale, and over 20 years, we might get this thing done.
Yeah.
But this referendum means within 5 years there'll be trains on the track. And you'll be riding around, riding through Atlanta on the Atlanta Beltline. So that's a pretty huge difference.
Yeah, and I have to say, as somebody who I was a suburbs girl for quite some time, I moved into the city about 2 years ago. But that traffic out there, isn't it the most frustrating thing when you're driving along and you just are stopped, and when you get to whatever the blockage was, there was nothing. It was just that the patterns of the traffic aren't right, and so you're just stuck for no reason, and you just want to pull your hair out and. Scream and gnash your teeth and
such
all that. So
life.
It'd be nice to get that fixed too.
Such is life for an Atlantan.
So. Right. And all of us inside the city, people refuse to go outside the perimeter. And it's not because are snobs, it's because we don't like the freaking traffic.
Right. right.
Well, we are snobs, but that's all right. Whatever.
This is about regionalism. We're coming together.
That's
no,
right.
No snobs here.
That's right. Okay.
Well, that's
right.
The thing is that the way Atlanta is, everything affects everything else. So you can't just say, well, I live in this one pocket, so I don't have to worry about that.
Right.
So what happens in central Atlanta affects what happens
absolutely.
In Dunwoody.
The point that I think is the most salient about this referendum, when you're talking to people, if you can think back in terms of decades, and it doesn't really matter how old you are, if you think back at the history of Atlanta and how things have been done when it comes to political decisions around transportation, we have just not thought regionally. It's hard to think of a time when the region has come together and said, okay, we're going to pick these sets of projects, we're going to pick this goal, and we're all as a region, as 10 counties, whatever, however you define the region, and we're going to come together and do it.
Yeah.
You just can't find examples of that. This really marks a huge milestone, a huge landmark for history that will be looked back on and said, this is the first time that Atlanta did what other regions around the country, some have successfully done and some have not been successful in ever being able to get to the point where we are right now, where we say as a region, you know what, we've got a problem. we're gonna work together and start getting into what Kasim Reed calls the future business, and we're gonna work together and solve it.
So you guys, like, from a business standpoint, Antoine and Tim, do you guys focus on this? I mean, I know you guys are busy doing your everyday business, so obviously, you know, it's there and you're hearing it, but are you, like, telling your employees that you got to vote? Are you talking to your... Yeah?
We are, actually. We're actually very excited because the streetcar was coming right in front of both of our businesses.
So yeah.
For us, it's huge. I mean, I have a personal dream that one day I'll ride a streetcar to the Braves game, which who knows when that'll ever happen.
Yeah.
That would be an
awesome.
Amazing feat.
Totally. Yeah. Cool. So,
yeah, we had somebody in, was it somebody from Central Atlanta Progress that was talking about the big plan for the big station where the Amtrak was going to come in, and the, you know, and I was like, oh, that'd be really great. And she was like, yeah, it's going to be 20 years. I was like, damn it. Because I grew up in the Northeast, you know, in cities like D.C. and New York and Philly where that exists today, you know,
right.
And you come into one station and you can actually get somewhere
right.
from there.
Right.
Whereas
That's
like
right.
here you show up at Amtrak and you're like, what
right.
what the
right.
heck just happened?
Right. Yeah.
Where am I?
How do I
what
get?
Do I do?
That's right.
So I was all excited, and then I was... My hopes were dashed. So I'm with you. A streetcar of the Braves games would be super cool.
Well, multimodal cool. may not be that far away. I think a lot of factors go into that. But maybe
I forgot
the,
what it
the
was
true,
called.
Yeah, well,
multimodal.
Yeah, you're yeah. What Dana's referring to is the multimodal passenger terminal, which is
right.
located in the Gulch area behind CNN,
right.
The Phillips Arena area back there. There's something in the order of 20 acres over there that have essentially been undeveloped since Atlanta has sort of grown up on top of it.
Yeah,
so
right.
There's
it's a huge area.
Huge area, old there. Rail lines coming through there, a fascinating, historically fascinating area. And now what is being worked on through the Department of Transportation, through our organization, through companies like Forest City and Cousins, is a vision to turn that area into what would be a real 21st century transit hub and a transportation hub. We're talking about freight. We're talking about streetcars. We're even talking about the possibility of what you were referring to, you know, maybe Amtrak, but likely some other sort of high-speed rail in the
sure.
future. So the other piece is the high-speed rail in the future. You know, that might be 20 years. I would love to think it could be sooner, but at least by building – this infrastructure, building the multimodal passenger terminal, we're getting to a place where that high speed rail would have a home,
yeah,
and a hub for the Southeast United States, right here in Atlanta.
That'd be very, very cool.
That'd be awesome. Well, it all starts on July 31st.
It certainly does. A lot of that. I don't want to confuse anybody. We're not voting on the multimodal passenger terminal on July 31st. But
the progressive view
absolutely,
of transportation
absolutely.
In Atlanta.
And the streetcars that we will that will come with this referendum will be streetcars that would link into that terminal at some point. Absolutely.
That's very cool.
Awesome. Tim, let's talk about Breen Smith. Now, you're an advertising marketing agency.
That's right.
Give me a feel for the creative work that's going on right across the street from us down there at Margaret Mitchell
Square. First of all, it's very creative. We've got a pretty huge range of clients. Most of them are pretty much all of them are Atlanta-based. Fideau Irish Pubs, 15 pubs around the U.S. Stevie B's Pizza's got 42 places. On-site RIS, which is an IT company that handles all of Chick-fil-A. Solo Health, a great IT health company, which is really big right now in Georgia, IT Health. Some names that you would definitely know are Weather Channel, Equifax.
Right. These are some pretty impressive
Racetrack.
Clients.
Yeah, they're great, and we do a huge range of things for them. Everything from, you know, the standard old what you would think of a full service agency doing, which is print, radio, television, to the million other ways to reach consumers these days, internet, etc.
Right. There's so much change going on in the way that brands reach their prospects and customers.
There is.
Are you doing a lot in sort of like new media?
You have to, and it's really you know, people are saying traditional media and new media and really now digital is it's hard to even call it new anymore. It's pretty standard, you know, and social media.
I'm a little
behind the times
here. It's still new to me.
You know, social media and the same thing. And you just gotta know, that's probably one of the harder parts of the equation. There's really just three parts. You know, you figure out who you're talking to. You figure out the message and how to resonate with them, and then how to deliver it. And how to deliver it is really kind of the cost effective. How do you get it to them? Tough way. So and you know, social media was certainly the biggest change recently, but even that is just changing so fast. You know, if you're talking to a target of women 30-ish or so, Facebook is huge. I just had I was just looking at this thing the other day that 14-year-olds are now deleting their Facebook accounts because it's too
the old people
too
I
old.
Say.
Yeah,
it's
so
it's,
you know,
cool
it's hard
anymore.
To it is
keep
definitely
up
you gotta
with...
you certainly gotta keep up with it.
Yeah, you have to
lose fast.
Yeah, you talked about those different aspects of knowing like who they are and what the message is and all
right.
that, and you need to know where they are.
Yep.
Because really, I know I have a daughter that's about to be 20, and she was all into Facebook in high school and even at the beginning of college, and now she's tweeting more.
Right.
She's much more into Twitter. So, right. And at first she was like, Twitter's too old. Twitter's all marketing
right.
people and sales. I don't care. But
right.
now her friends are doing that. And she's still on Facebook, but
right.
more eyes on Twitter. So,
right.
And then every time something new pops up, do you sort of have to look at it and say, well, is this actually going to be like Pinterest or whatever it is
right.
now? And
Pinterest, yeah.
And now people are going like, well, is this going to catch on? Do I need to spend my time and energy there? Do
right.
I not? Is
you,
it just
you do? You have to. And, you know, like Pinterest, for example, we use that actually. The building we're in now at 140 Peachtree, where we use Pinterest to kind of showcase the building and get it out there because it's just a great medium,
yeah.
you know, and it's very useful, but you do have to know your audience. And that's one of the toughest things is delivering the message. My company's very good at being creative and creating a breakthrough message. But if it's not getting to the right people or cost effectively getting to the right people, it's tough. And same with business. You know, a lot of times you're trying to reach business, not, you know, it's very different.
Right. Than reaching teenagers.
Than reaching teenagers or moms.
Seniors
or
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. I know like for my parents, you know, God forbid, you know, that my stepfather doesn't even carry a cell phone. He's
right.
like, you know,
right.
Facebook, are you kidding me? No, it's
right.
not going to happen.
Right.
You know,
sure.
So if you want to reach them and they have some bucks, you know what I mean? That,
exactly.
That's a whole different
the
thing.
Affluent market.
Right. You still go to
thing.
Radio for them. You still go to regular, you know,
right.
traditional television
right.
and all of that. So
that's right.
it's interesting. Must be keeping it fresh every day for you.
Yeah, it's never boring. That's for
right.
sure. That's for sure.
And how is being downtown for you?
Well, it's been great. It's really been great. We've, you know, I've worked all around Atlanta, Midtown, and on the West Side for a while, and over on Ponce for a while, and really all around downtown. And when we moved into 140 Peachtree, it was really, first of all, there's a great synergy and energy. But it's very community, you know. When we moved in, like Christine Phillips over at the Marriott, which is next door, brought a group over and brought us a fruit plate and welcomed us to the neighborhood. A few days before we moved in, Central Atlanta Progress invited us to a meeting just because it was about Margaret Mitchell Square and the turning on and the fountains, which is going to be big. And, you know, they just saw that we were moving in and invited us. So we've been really welcomed in, which I guess means I'm going to have to bake Antoine a pie or something and
yeah,
take
right.
him something over
you
there.
You have to pay it forward.
Apple, I'll take an apple pie. Jerry will do it too. Jerry will do it.
Yeah, you know what made us amazing. A pie? We need a pie too.
I'll share mine with
okay,
you.
Okay, that'll work.
Well, I think Tim's also being humble. The space that they moved into is a tremendous achievement just in what they've done with the space itself right there at Margaret Mitchell Square. And he could give you a little bit more background on the history of that building. And the Business Chronicle had recently written a piece just on that project alone. It is just a truly remarkable space, and it really kind of sets off that area at Margaret Mitchell Square in a completely new way. Mm-hmm. So maybe Tim
yeah,
could
it really
on
that. It is a really neat building. We've had a lot of fun showing people around. It's got a really neat history in that it was once a nine-story building, and it is now a three-story building. Which,
interesting.
Yeah, which doesn't happen much, I wouldn't imagine.
It's the highest,
but,
tallest building in Atlanta.
Yeah, it was. It was the tallest building in Atlanta, and it was the tallest, thinnest building in the world when it was built. It was built
really?
By.
Wow.
It was built wow. by Neil Reed, and you see, there's a couple of old postcards that we've pulled off the internet and. You know, you see this huge tall building and these tiny little wooden house slash stores and some carriages and stuff. So it's really neat. But basically there's a few theories of why they cut it off. It was the Hilliard Trust Bank, and that's who built it. And then Citizens and Southern CNS Bank took over Hilliard Trust. And sometime in the 70s, the building became deemed unstable, either because of storms or because the MARTA went under it and shook it up a bit. Or I have a theory that it might be a wind tunnel effect with other buildings because it's pretty windy down there. But they basically said, you know, this, they deemed it unstable and they cut it off to three floors. And it's pretty neat. It's got it's got beautiful white marble in it, and it's got about a 9-foot gorgeous safe in the bottom of the building that is a really neat attraction. And yeah, it's fantastic. So, and so we're having fun just trying to figure out how to use the space, you know, in different ways.
Sounds really cool. We'll have to come over for a tour.
It's neat.
We broadcast from the safe. Why not?
Oh, I think that'd be cool. We can make that work.
That's right.
Broadcast and eat apple pie, right?
That's it.
Perfect. Done. Yeah. We'll sign us up. That's cool.
So, Antoine, what about you? You guys just moved in 2 weeks ago.
June 6th.
And how long had you known that this was the branch that you were going to take over managing?
We opened up 2 weeks ago. I've been waiting on this day for about 10 months.
So you're pretty excited to be
very,
here. Why don't you
excited.
Give us a little bit of background on Fifth Third? I mean, Dana said they're popping up everywhere.
Seems like it.
Tell us about the growth and the brand and what you guys are all about.
Well, we're definitely growing here in Georgia. We've been here in Georgia for about 4.5 years or so. Georgia is actually one of the growth markets for Fifth Third, which, of course, we're based out of Cincinnati. And like I said, we're growing. Right now, we're currently, I said, the Georgia Pacific location was our 28th location here in the Atlanta and metro surrounding areas. 20, of which 13 of them are in Kroger's. Around the areas, and which is a really neat, you know, concept. Our employee base, we're growing. We doubled our employee size in 2010, tripled our employee
wow.
size in 2011.
Wow.
So I was right.
Yeah, yeah.
Massive growth.
Yeah, well, I said, you know, we opened up 2 weeks ago. Last quarter, I believe in January, we opened up one in Smyrna. And then in December, we opened up another location in on West End in Cascade. And we've got about 3 or 4 more that's on the slate for by the end of this year. So you'll really, really start to see us growing. Start to, you know, really see the Fifth Third brand out there.
And for this downtown location, do you see this as a, you know, a strategic business play for personal accounts? What kind of business are you guys going after?
Anybody with money.
Like a typical banker.
Yeah. Well, it was strategic for Fifth Third Georgia. You know, in order for us to accomplish what we want to accomplish here in Georgia, we had to be an integral part in the downtown Atlanta area. And so I said, of course, downtown is filled with a ton of opportunities from personal as well as business. So we're just trying to get in right now, grassroots, and you know, dig in, become a part of the community, and like I said, and provide you know, everything that Fifth Third has to offer.
And is it I want to go over and see the branch. Tell us about the location. It's probably a pretty nice location.
Oh,
right there at the Georgia Pacific Center.
It's awesome. I would encourage everybody, if you get a chance, to come over and see it. Not sure if you're familiar, there was actually a restaurant that was in there. I believe it was Olympia, I believe. They went in and gutted it out, and, I mean, it's an extremely beautiful branch. It's actually our first branch of what we call the branch of the future. So it's a little bit different than any other branch here in Atlanta. It's actually the first here in Georgia. Some of the things that we have in that branch, we don't have any teller lines. We actually have kiosk, conversation rooms, state-of-the-art coin machines. So, I mean, it's a very state-of-the-art, you know, branch. Like I said, first one here in Georgia. The bank is actually going to that model.
So it's sort of showing where Fifth Third is taking their model and how they're approaching retail banking in the future.
Definitely. Well, you know, and it's
talk
part
about
of the,
progress.
Yeah, part of the
right
part of the model
the
of you know, of becoming a we're a relationship bank. And so it's just part of our motto and going into you know, that curious bank and developing relationships with our customers.
And what's your background in the financial services industry? It is a relationship business. Mm-hmm. How did you grow up in this industry, Antoine?
Well, I've been in banking and finance, I believe, for the last, I guess, 14 years or so. I'm actually new to the Atlanta area. Just relocated here a year ago. It was a year ago last month. And so I'm new to the Atlanta area. And I said, it's great. Yeah.
What made you decide to make Atlanta your next home?
Well, a wife had a little something to do with that.
And, they do that sometimes, don't they?
And then as well as, you know, the growth opportunities that you guys had mentioned, you know, that Fifth Third has here in Georgia. You know, just to be able to get in on the ground floor of that growth and be able to grow with Fifth Third here in Georgia was an opportunity that I just couldn't pass up.
Fantastic.
So I just have a quick question because there's obviously, you know, you guys are kind of up and coming, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're just talking about all the different kinds of ways to get the word out, you know, all the new media, traditional media. Are you guys taking advantage of all that? Do you have somebody great working for you already, like Tim, maybe?
You know, that's a great question.
Just curious.
I'll refer to our marketing department. Okay. But, yeah, we're doing a lot of great things, you know, advertising, billboards, newspaper, radio, hosting a lot of different events. You know, we've got a lot of things that's going to be coming up here next month for our grand opening. That's going to be a week-long celebration, you know, that we're trying to incorporate some things with CAPS and things that's going on.
Now, when is that?
It'll be the week of July the 9th.
Okay.
And so we'll have something different, you know, going on every day that week. I know two of the highlights that week. Fifth Third is actually the sponsor of a NASCAR. And so we'll actually have the NASCAR on site on the Georgia Pacific Plaza. So you can come up, take a look at it, take pictures. And then on Friday, we'll actually have John Smoltz, former Brave, at the branch for pictures and autographs and things of that nature. So got a lot of things on tap.
Wow, that's exciting.
I've got a question on this. Where is the name Fifth Third?
I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
He's never been asked that. I guarantee he's never been asked
that. That's a cross street.
I can't believe it took this long before we actually got to that.
I'd say you got to get that a lot, huh?
And, you know, and I hate to burst your bubble. It's real simple. Fifth National Bank, Third National Bank merged, and they took the two names and got Fifth Third. Yeah.
It's always simple.
Yeah, now, right. They didn't choose three-fifths because it was during the time of Prohibition, so they didn't think three-fifths was appropriate. So that's how they got the 5-3.
Very nice.
That's awesome.
I think your Randy Kopork referred it to as the awkward fraction bank.
Is that it is.
The awkward fraction. Something like that.
Before I started working there, I always used to call it the bank of 1 2/3. You know, so that was my little joke there for us.
You could definitely do some silly viral videos with that. I'm thinking, Tim, come on. Get some ideas going. I think there could definitely be some funny stuff about
that's
So, Dan, speaking of upcoming cool things happening in downtown, isn't there Restaurant Week coming up, too?
Restaurant Week is coming up in late July. This is downtown was the first organization in the city to do a Restaurant Week, there's now Midtown and Buckhead Restaurant Week, and we're actually coordinating with them. For Restaurant Weeks. It's just an awesome opportunity. I encourage everybody to get on atlantadowntown.com. We've got plenty of information about Restaurant Week and the restaurants that are participating. You know, you're talking about, you know, three-course meals for $25-$30. It's just awesome deals. It's great for the restaurants, but it's great for speaking as a local, it's great for us locals because a lot of these places, we think, oh, I might, you know, go to Willie's or Moe's tonight, instead of one of these restaurants on a weeknight, just because you know it's they tend to be a little pricey, some of them, but this is a great opportunity to get a really awesome deal and check out somewhere new.
Try out some of the fantastic restaurants we have right here in downtown Atlanta. And Tim, tell us a little bit more about what's going on at Breen Smith this summer. What kind of campaigns are you working on? Do you do seasonal stuff for your clients?
It's funny because it used to be that summer was kind of the downtime in Adland. You know, when I was in New York and Chicago, they would actually take half days on Fridays at noon. You're out because it's just slow. But these days, since the economy's kind of kicked in the last couple of years, it's been been full time, and you really never know. There is no seasonality. We get a little bit of break right after the holidays. Everybody tries to spend the budget before the end of the year, and then a little break, and
right.
then everybody wakes up, and then it's full swing in the summer. But we're doing some stuff right now. There's a big summer push for a racetrack for Soda Palooza, where they just, go in and grab a big thing of soda for good price. But everybody's got, Fado Irish Pubs has, of course, their big summer push, patios, everybody out, summer menus, that kind of stuff. So the Olympics is coming up. That's going to be huge. Usually pretty much everybody tries to jump on that bandwagon. So we should be staying very busy. I hope so. We better be.
we should have some Olympic challenges over here. What do you think?
Some Olympic events.
Yeah, like maybe beer lifting something. gold medal, beer lifting. I think we could do that.
All right, we'll work on that.
Three-legged
races.
Before
July 31st, maybe you can involve votes. We can have a, who can bring the most people to register an absentee ballot or something.
It's a little less sexy.
But
we have Tim here to sexy it up for us, so it's fine.
Right. We'll think of it.
We come up with stupid ideas and let him make them sexy.
We'll theme it. There you go.
That's right.
Is that kind of how it works, Tim? I mean, when you're working with clients, do they have in their mind an idea and then you have to make it pretty, or do they come to you with a blank slate? And
The better clients actually come with a blank slate. And, a lot of times, especially the larger companies, come with media ideas. They'll have a media in mind, but
they'll say, "We really want to do something on YouTube. Can you give us? We want an idea for a video."
But in general, it's really following the formula of what's the most cost effective way to get them the message, and also tracking. Metrics now has become huge. How do you judge it? It's still nobody figuring out how to judge the traffic off of billboards, but people love the internet because you can see how many clicks are getting and all that stuff. But I mean, for us, it's sales. I mean, it's same store sales or just, we set the goals and that's what we focus on to start out with a client and say, what are we trying to do here? It varies, and it goes in huge phases. Again, back to Facebook, 2 years ago it was we want a lot of Facebook fans.
Right.
And now it's what are these Facebook fans doing? So
right, do they actually mean anything?
Yeah, exactly. So we try and get realistic goals more, and sometimes it is gathering databases so that you can keep up with these folks and stay in touch with them, and then that does lead to sales. So
it's funny that you say that about the internet and people liking the statistics and the numbers that they can get off of that. Because I was working for a company in marketing a couple of years ago, and I would I'm a little bit older than some of those people were at that particular company, and I would keep saying, yes, that's all well and good, but we still can do some traditional things. Like, it would still be good. It wasn't right. a billboard sort of company, but like for Fifth Third, obviously a billboard is a good thing because the more you're getting that brand in front of people, I mean, everybody banks, right? And the more that brand is out there, the better it is.
That's
the more
right.
people get comfortable with it, they get used to the idea of it, and then they might walk through the door.
Right.
Whereas, this company, it wasn't billboards, but print might have been good for them. Right. Some traditional radio might have been good, but because they couldn't get those same numbers,
they were
very hesitant.
That's right. And we love doing integrated campaigns. I mean, integrated for us is much It's not like everything looks the same. It's really driving traffic through the different channels. Like for Stevie B's, we just launched the campaign the second time we've done this. But basically, the idea is that our target is moms. They're the decision makers. Kids are the influencers. Stevie B's is a buffet pizza concept. It's
right.
got crazy pizzas like macaroni and cheese or loaded baked potato.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And
so
two meals in one.
Yeah, people love it. They go in. It's one price. It's all, it's a buffet. It's all you need. But moms really drive it. It's a very family-oriented place.
Sure.
And kids love it. They've got a game room, et cetera. So we came up with an idea that you let your kids be on our billboard contest. Billboards are crucial for them because of just, again, a location-based thing.
Sure.
And moms are very proud of their kids. So
They
love it.
So
we got hundreds and thousands of pictures of kids. And so we took that, and then in each market, say Augusta, we would take the child from that market, put them on the billboard, and our slogan at the time was let your kids eat weird pizza. So now it's unlimited pizza happiness. But we'd put them up, and we got great, you know, residual response. So the kids, you know, are the Stevie B kids in their school and around their community. But at the same time, we didn't really count on them going. A lot of them went back out to the billboards and shot their picture in front of the billboard.
Sure.
And then put it back up. So, again, very integrated. So it's kind of pushing from channel to channel and getting people talking. And, you know, that's what you want. You want people naturally talking about your brand and excited about it.
Right. So they're taking a picture of themselves in front of the billboard and putting that on Facebook.
That's
and then,
right.
Right.
That's right.
You know, I actually, Dan, do you guys do anything in terms of sort of marketing downtown?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that is, as you know, I mentioned, we're a 70-year-old organization. And, you know, back in the day, it might have been more of a consortium of business leaders kind of getting together and talking more civically. But as we have evolved over that 70 years, one of the components that is absolutely critical to what we do is marketing. I'm actually part of, as a membership manager, part of the marketing team at CAP. Tim actually sits on our marketing and PR council, which is a group of CAP members, many of them working in the marketing space for their company, that helps to advise us, one, on how to market downtown.
Right.
And two, on how to market CAP. But Restaurant Week is an example of how we market downtown. We have a group of a special category of membership called our Downtown Dining Membership. These are restaurants. We have over 300 restaurants in downtown. Many people don't know we have that many. We have, you know, 300 different places to eat and bars and whatnot right here. And so those restaurants pay annual membership to us, and through that they get a whole range of benefits in terms of you know, social media, in terms of Restaurant Week, various other kinds of promotions that we will do on behalf of downtown. And really one of the kind of areas related to that we kind of focus on is the local business, because we have Atlanta Convention Visitors Bureau. Many of the restaurants downtown really kind of thrive on that convention or visitors market, but we kind of fill the niche of, you know, if you're in Atlanta, you know, we want to give you reasons to come downtown. If you work in downtown, we want to give you reasons to stay here after work and do happy hour, do dinner. So that's one area. We also market downtown in terms of the attractions. We market downtown in terms of places. This is a place where you want to come and live. We want to market it in terms of, this is a place where you want to come and develop something or lease space and put your, you know, put your business here, as both of these gentlemen here at the table have done. And we're a part of marketing on many fronts, I guess, in that regard. So.
Yeah. We talked about on one of the shows, I think was when Wilma was here, we talked about sort of the one thing that for me that's missing downtown. So if you guys could work on this, I'd really appreciate it. And
Dana likes to put in her request.
I like to shop, and there's not enough. I need more retail people.
Sure.
I need some high fashion. Right. I need some shoes.
Well, you know what you should be doing with your money is taking it down to Fifth Third.
Exactly.
And turning it into more money.
I know, buy more shoes.
Right.
I know you're right about that.
I'm a little ashamed. We're steadily improving. I mean, one, you know, we've got America's Mart, which is not too shabby in terms of its retail presence. And
yeah.
I was just in the lobby here reading the Atlantan and talking about the rebranding that America's Mart is doing to really kind of become this new high fashion mecca. And so I think you're going to see a lot more coming out of America's Mart. That's one thing. But just right here, and I would like to kind of talk a little bit about just this area. We've got Joseph A. Bank now that's right here around Market Mitchell Square.
Right.
And so they've come into that space. You've got Alma Casino, which is a new restaurant, in addition to these guys here at the table. So just right here.
Yeah.
You're seeing more retail.
We've seen a lot in the last 6 months.
Sure. And you know, I think a lot of that we feel is related to the streetcar and the other opportunities that – we think are coming for downtown, and we know that businesses are starting to look at downtown. You know, maybe some types of businesses that haven't looked at downtown in 20 years, and now they're coming back and saying, "Hey, this is a place in the city where things are really, you know, really starting to move in a positive direction, in a direction that we can see. You know, we can see a lot of future there. So, I think retail will come. One of the other areas where we've got a new staff person that is specifically here to work on economic development, real estate economic development, and how to bring different types of amenities to downtown is one of her, you know, kind of pet goals is not just new businesses and new office commercial developments or even apartments. You know, she's interested in, you know, grocery stores.
Yeah.
You know, and if you build the grocery, they will come.
Right.
You know, is one way is I think in the real estate world a real truth.
Yeah,
as is absolutely. As is if you build transit, they will come. I mean, those things are the study after study shows that people want to be around these kind of basic amenities, transportation and food. You know, are things that everybody needs, and the more we can provide options in those areas, the more we'll see growth and development in downtown.
And then as the people come, then you get things like hair salons and nail places.
Absolutely.
And dry cleaners,
sure.
And all the regular
We've got
services.
A lot of that already, but we definitely need more of it all, and
yeah.
we'll take it all.
More.
Yeah. But the energy has been great. I mean, it's funny to watch people, when we moved into the building, naturally invite all kinds of, you know, different people in and clients and et cetera. And to see them come in, I mean, they live in Georgia. Some of the folks, you know, are native Georgians, even native Atlantans. And they'll come downtown to Margaret Mitchell or whatever. And they go, wow, this feels like a real city. It's like, wow, that's because it is a real city. But, but you know, for a very long time, I mean, Atlanta has felt like a large town. You know, it's more, but
or
downtown.
Several towns pieced together.
Exactly. Little town. Yeah. So, but they're amazed at the energy and really everything going on, you know. Even, you know, people walking across the street and just how many people there are in general, you know, it's
well, you know, it's
interesting
too, because I worked here downtown actually at the Georgia Pacific building back right when the Olympics were happening for a couple of years. I was down here and it felt at that time very much like a place to come down and work and go right back home to the suburbs. You know, there
sure.
wasn't, I mean, I might stay for happy hour or certainly we'd go out to lunch or whatever. But now, and then there were a number of years where I rarely came downtown for anything.
Right.
And then I started coming back again now that we're here. And it does feel different. I was also very pleasantly surprised when
right.
I came back downtown. It sort of does feel a little, it feels safe and it feels, you know, mm-hmm. easily accessible, sort of in a way bigger and smaller at the same time, if that makes sense.
Right.
Right.
I mean, some people haven't been back since, you know, the Pink Pig was on top of the Macy's building
right.
you know, when they were a kid. There was just no, you know,
no
they've
reason.
Been,
yeah.
been down and they just never think, oh, I'm going to, they have no reason. And then they come downtown. They're like, wow, when did this happen?
Right.
You know? So.
Right. So I think you're right too. Also some of the things like Restaurant Week, but even just that there are so many really, really great restaurants. We've had on
right
a bunch
here.
Of them on the radio. I mean, they just like, they start talking about their food, you guys. And I'm like, God, I'm like, we have to leave right now and go get something to eat because they sound amazing. And then they talk about also some of the, one of the issues I know people think about coming downtown is parking. It's going to be
right.
too difficult, too expensive, but almost all of them have said, oh yeah, no, we have free parking. It's valet. It's really easy. You just
sure.
pull around and you know,
it's becoming much more common in downtown for these restaurateurs to provide complimentary parking. So we do encourage folks to, you know, get on their websites and find out if they do that. And you know, if not, parking's not that expensive. There's also MARTA that's that pretty much, you know, we've got three stations right here in downtown that are all pretty well located, you know, many restaurants right, you know, within a block or two
right.
of those MARTA stations. And then obviously the streetcar, you know, I think that's the ultimate sort of vision there with the streetcar that, you know, that'll no longer be an excuse for especially in town folks that parking is an issue. You can just hop on that streetcar and you can be where you need to be, and you can leave your car in the garage and not spend any money on gas and have a nice night out in downtown and get back to where you need to be.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think one of the things that actually will make it, you know, in a way better than some of the other, like the bigger northeastern cities and whatever, because it is outrageously expensive to park. I mean, it's like $20 for an hour to park in New York or something, absurd like that, you know.
Yeah. Right.
And there are plenty of people in the suburbs of those communities, too, that just only go into the city once a year because it's just too crazy expensive.
Right.
But they have that public transportation that we're aiming for.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, everything in context. So I think you raise a good point. There's a lot of people that look at Atlanta and, you know, parking's expensive or this or that, and
compared to New York.
And other cities deal with these same issues.
Sure.
We think what matters is what we're doing about them and what we're trying to do going forward. And you know, we think that more transportation options are really kind of the secret ingredient to having a community where there's less of those types of complaints and a lot more influx of activity.
Right. You said secret ingredient, and I went right to like a McDonald's secret sauce. I just went right to an ad campaign for downtown, you know, with transportation.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Before we get too far away from it, and because we're getting close to the end, I want to make sure that we give everyone an opportunity to find out how to reach you guys. So let's start with Fifth Third, Antoine. How can people find out about all the upcoming celebrations and how to open an account with you and all that stuff?
Well, they can definitely go to our website, which is very simple, www.53.com, or they can give our location here downtown a call at 404-720-2245. Or definitely come and see us. Well, like I said, we're located at 133 Peachtree at the lobby level in the George Pacific building.
And should they call you in the middle of the night at home, maybe?
They can call me anytime. If they want an open account or we need to do something for them, they can call me anytime.
Nice.
You got some customer parking spots over there, right?
We do. We actually have some customer parking
spots.
Speaking
of parking, I wanted to make everybody aware that
we do have customer parking spots in the Georgia Pacific Center parking garage. And like I said, we do validate for our customers. So
perfect.
Awesome.
So, I'm glad you mentioned that, Elizabeth.
So they can put their money into a smarter investment
vehicle.
That's right.
That's right.
Excellent. All right. And Tim, how about you?
Well, again, it's the website, breensmith.com. It's like green, but a B as in boy. That's probably the hardest part. I say that on the phone like 20 times a day. It's B as in boy, breensmith.com. But that's the way, you know, to see what we're doing, what we're up to. And you know, if you want to follow us, you can jump on the old Facebook.
You're pretty active on the social media scene as well, so it's a good way to get a taste for what the style of the agency.
Good place to look at the building, too. Like I said, we got our Pinterest thing on there. It's actually very, very neat pictures on there of the building. So.
Yeah, I started to pull it up. I don't know if you heard that little sound while we were, because everything I do on my computer over here, if it makes a sound, it's on the air.
Sure.
So I pulled it up and it made a little sound. So I was like, I better stop because maybe it's going to like burst into song at any second.
Right.
So, but it looks cool for the little bit that I saw.
Yeah, that's great.
And Dan Williams, Central Atlanta Progress.
So AtlantaDowntown.com is our address. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter. I think we even have a Tumblr now, Atlanta Downtown. So these are kind of the best ways to find out more information about downtown, whether you're looking for somewhere to eat, somewhere to stay, what activities, events are coming up. We've got all that right there on the website. If you're a business that is located in downtown, or you're in real estate and interested in getting involved in downtown, just whatever it may be, I'm the membership guy, so I would love to talk to you about how we can get you involved with CAP, get you to the table like these gentlemen here are, and helping us make the decisions, helping us develop a vision for Central Atlanta, because we, at the end of the day, we wouldn't be here as a community over these past 70 years without our members. I mean, they're really the driving force for Central Atlanta Progress, that, you know, we really leverage to be able to do the things that we do. So if you fall into that category, we would love to figure out how we can work together.
Very
excellent.
Cool.
Yes, you guys have got a number of very prominent members, all companies from the very large to more smaller, mid-sized entrepreneurial organizations.
Right. You know, I think back in the day, it was probably the, you know, the, you know, to
the old white men club, you know, back in 1941. That's probably what it looked like, you know, and they were probably leaders of you know, the various types of companies that existed at that time. But you know, if you look at our board now and our membership now, it is a diverse group. It is young. It's old. It's you know, it's small companies. It's Coca-Cola. It's Georgia Pacific.
Sure.
But it's a you know, it's a restaurant. It's a it's Breen Smith. You know, it's a you know, developing bank like Fifth Third. It's a really broad, and it's really what it takes. I mean, this is, you know, that's downtown. The beautiful thing about downtown as a community is just the diversity of not just businesses but types of residents, you know, type, just really whatever you know, category of diversity you want to look at. That's really what we have, and you know, nonprofits, of course, I can't neglect to mention the amazing spectrum of nonprofits that we have in downtown, and we're getting them more and more involved with CAP. You know, because again, they're a pretty important part of the fabric here.
And I'll put in a plug for them as well. I mean, Dan does a great job in COP. I mean, there's a lot, you know, there's social networking, all that stuff, but there's a lot to be said for just meeting people and shaking their hands. And they do a fantastic job of putting together groups and introducing people. And it's been great for us, and we've really enjoyed it. So,
yeah. I'd like to, I guess, kind of coattail on that. They've been instrumental, very instrumental in us breaking into this downtown area. And, you know, they kind of they talk the talk and walk the walk. You know, A.J. Robinson, the president of CAPS, he was actually at our ribbon cutting ceremony and had some words and things of that nature. So, you know, I definitely, you know, ride that coattail and, you know, very appreciative to him.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure having all of you on the Good Morning Atlanta show today, and we hope to have you all back sometime.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Elizabeth Gordon.
And Dana Barrett.
And we wish you all a good morning, and we'll talk to you next week.